For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, let's get you ready for a couple of things here with the Astros as they have game two of this three-game set with the day off in between game one and two against the Reds. Before we get there, a little update on some injury stuff. This was Dana Brown on the flagship saying, the Astros flagship saying, I think we have a chance to see Tucker in the next 3 to 5 days. He's right there on the brink. We're still discussing it, but it'll probably be right back with the big club, Astros general manager Dana Brown said about Kyle Tucker. So no rehab start. Talking about it'll be right immediately joining the major league team. When he gets back and says maybe 3 to 5 days on the brink. Also with that, Clint and Tyler, Kyle Tucker is reported was taking another BP against an Astros minor league pitcher that's in Cincinnati. Bregman also stood in for an at-bat but appeared to be just tracking pitches.
Is Breggy being ridiculous? Swinging.
So before we get to the lineup, your thoughts on the Tucker news, 3 to 5 days, and now we're actually hearing that Alex Bregman was stepping in the pocket.
Well, old double down Dana Brown, it ain't going to happen. He doubled down on that early September, and he even said Cincinnati Reds series maybe in Cincinnati Wednesday or Thursday. 3 to 5 days, if that's accurate, that's outside the next two ball games in Cincinnati.
He also said August, too, a little bit ago.
Yeah. Man, look,
stop putting a date on it.
I don't know. I mean, I just hope to get the guy back sooner rather than later. I hope to get Tucker back in time to give him a few weeks to get right in the box with, before the important games start kicking off here. And if 3 to 5 days, I'll take it, Dana. I'll take it.
Yeah, 3 to 5 days. We'll see. Well, here is the lineup, and this should add some understanding things. Altuve is going to play second and lead off. Alvarez remains in that two spot in left field. Diaz is the DH tonight, and Alex Bregman is playing third base tonight.
Whoo! That is a sigh of relief. I was getting ready to freak out a bit.
Alex Bregman, who has been on the bench because his elbow has been giving him problems.
Flared up a bit.
It's flared up, and he's coming right in to play third base. And
shout out to my guy, Alex Bregman.
And not DH. But he's playing third base and batting fourth, the absolute worst spot in the lineup that he has swung the bat all year long, I believe, every time he gets into that fourth spot.
Let's go get a Bregman bomb.
It seems to be a struggle for him. But he is hitting fourth, back in the lineup, playing third base. Victor Caratini is catching. Pena is at short. Gamble in right field. DiCenzo at first base. And McCormick's in center.
What up, white boy Chaz?
Yeah, there you go. Chaz in there. God, dog, I forgot about that.
He was in there game one, man.
Lord, Chaz, I love it.
Oh,
yeah.
Jake messed around and left it in, man. He's got a little one on the way.
Yeah. Sometimes you leave it in.
There you go, Jakester. Jake's kind of fighting it a little bit at the plate himself, so maybe these couple of days could be helpful.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I were Jake, I wouldn't be real comfortable with it.
I screwed it up.
I'd have a sit-down with my wife. Baby, look, I know. Look, I'm here. I've witnessed the baby being born. I've spent a couple nights in the hospital with you, and you're fine. The baby's doing good.
Do you?
Which I hope all is true. Baby, I gotta get back to center field.
I gotta go work.
I don't know if you've looked at the last handful of months, but boy, my numbers have been declining, and I don't know how.
Saying, well, maybe your ass need a couple of days off.
Yeah.
Can't find any good banana pudding anywhere.
Hey, Jake, this once in a lifetime here, your first one. Just do you, man.
Oh, man.
Make the right decision here. Do you?
Once in a lifetime major league career.
It's been once in a lifetime every day here all year long. This is just the once.
We need some Jake from Rake Farm.
Hey, real quick.
Lucky Dubon. Dubon ain't found his way to center field since Jake been gone, by the way.
Real quick, am I the only one, and I know I'm painted as the warrior here, am I the only one that finds it odd that Alex Bregman is just coming in playing third base after missing?
Oh, no.
Five-something game?
That's something to take note of, 100%.
With the elbow?
Elbow is all we know, and he is
I don't know why he's bad fourth. I just... Yeah, hey, man, Diaz, you're just going to have to catch today. Or you going to have to play some first base or something. He's missed, what, five, six in a row? Five in a row, at least? Elbow's swelling just now, going down. As soon as that swelling goes down, pop, go ahead and don't go to third base. All right. There you go. All right, Spencer Arrighetti gets the ball tonight. He'll have the best lineup they can damn near put forth when you put Caratini and Diaz in there at the same time with Bregman and Alvarez. You like that Alvarez in that two spot and then having Diaz bumped up to the third spot with Bregman in the fourth spot when Diaz seemed to be – I mean, I know he was swinging it well in the third spot, but that wasn't that long. I've always found
the choosing to have Alvarez in the two spot, I've always found that not always, but since I heard Alvarez comments on it initially, I thought it was interesting, the decision. It's almost like they didn't talk to Alvarez. I mean, Alvarez said after the first time he batted second, he said, I don't mind batting second. He said, the only problem is usually I've only seen one or two pitches before my at-bat.
Because
Altuve's so aggressive at the plate. So, I mean, if that's my guy and that's my best hitter and that's one of the best hitters in the game, I'm probably going to take note and I'm going to bump his ass back in the lineup just a little bit back to that three hole and let him see four, five, six pitches versus put him in that two hole where he's literally said. But, I mean, in his defense, I mean, he's swinging the hell out of it in that two hole.
This will be one to watch to see over the next couple of days if Bregman is able to play today and tomorrow, if they continue with this top four like this, because clearly we're seeing that Tucker's close and trying to figure out where he fits.
God willing.
You know what I mean? It looks like it. I mean, from right. what he's doing.
He's actually running bases.
Does Diaz remain in the three spot?
No, Tucker?
I'm just saying, where does Tucker fit?
Somewhere in the top four.
Yeah, I mean in the top four.
And Diaz goes to five.
Because I just thought it would be Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, and Tucker with Diaz going to five spot. Ooh. Because that had been the lineup that they were in before Bregman got hurt.
Tucker top four locked in the lineup upon return?
Absolutely.
Oof. I mean, I might disagree.
You're saying right now, you
would have Altuve, Alvarez, Diaz, and Bregman all ahead of Tucker.
A variation, yeah. I really like Yiner in the cleanup spot, and the dude's been cleaning up. I really, really wish Yiner would just.
Yeah, I'd like that too. I'd like Yiner to be in the five spot.
I don't know if I'd bring Tuck back.
I think I'd be a great five hole hitter.
I don't know if I'd bring Tuck back in the five or six hole. To be honest.
Yeah, I want him to be where he's going to be in the playoffs.
I mean, no rehab. I mean, he's a pro, so you don't expect there to be, hopefully, not too much rust and he get his timing down. But he's still going to be, I mean, he's still been out for, what, 90-plus days?
I want him right there behind Alvarez.
I wouldn't be opposed to them putting him back in a two-hole just to assure his ass is going to get some really good pitches.
I hear you. I don't think it's asinine or anything. I'm just thinking.
I feel about that two-hole
spot. You're talking about the lineup, right?
Don't we all?
Line.
I just gonna get in front of that before Tyler ran it into the ground, you know.
You know me.
So that is the latest. Bregman right back in there playing third base. Right back in there. Sure, he'll get five grounders hit to him tonight. fake throws after turn two. Do all kinds of stuff as he's back in the lineup. But they look to get back on their winning ways with a game here in Cincinnati.
Big 3-3, number two.
A couple of things here with the Texans. And this, to me, was something to watch. And it's very, very important. And this is big, big positive news for the Texans. And that is their Pro Bowl defensive end, Will Anderson, returned to practice. We have not seen Will Anderson in pads. He had started to come out last week just with his jersey, but they didn't even let him have a helmet. But this is the first time Will Anderson has actually practiced in pads that we've been able to see since late July, right before they took the trip to Canton for the Hall of Fame game. So he is back at practice, and I saw a video of it. He had a helmet. He had shoulder pads on. He was dressed out just as everyone else was. And the reports are from Aaron Wilson that he is on track to play against the Colts. This is big to me because, Clint, as I said to you before, boy, I wondered if he was going to make it. I wondered if he was going to play the way that DeMeco was sounding and that much time off. And I think today and Thursday was going to be a big key to see if he plays. Because if he didn't practice today or tomorrow, I think it'd be hard-pressed to think he would go from not practicing since late July to just playing in the game.
Well, even if he did play, look, I mean, with an ankle, we've seen that with Will Anderson before. I mean, it's not good to start the season that way where you can't even practice and you have to just play the game. He's good enough to do that if need be, but you'd hate to start the season that way. So it's good to see him back and in condition, in shape with that ankle to where they feel comfortable with him practicing. Here's the deal with Will Anderson is there's a lot of good with Will Anderson. In this game, as it pertains to playing the Colts, a division opponent that is going to be one of the – I mean, look, let's be honest. This division is not as simple as it used to be. They're one of the teams that – they won 10 games last year that they're starting quarterback. They're a good football team. The way in which they play offensive football, or the way in which I think they're going to want to play offensive football, is predominantly running the football. And Will Anderson is as difficult to block as anybody in the league. Look, you can talk about, well, he's got a long way to go with his pass rush and this and that, but when it comes to blocking Will Anderson in the run game, whether it's a tackle on him, whether it's a tight end tackle combination, a guard pulling, trying to kick him out, it doesn't matter. Running at him or running away from him, Will Anderson is an absolute beast versus a run. He's a problem to block. Nobody wants to do it, much less do it for four quarters. To have Will Anderson back this week against Indy is bigger than most games, more significant than most games on this schedule. When you play this team, you want the guy that I'll go out on a limb right now. I'll say he's the most, in terms of the run game, he's the most difficult player on this football team to block.
And then if he's out in the pass game, I mean, there's no question you just aren't going to let Danielle Hunter beat you, right?
Yeah,
like you take your chances with no DeNico Autry as well. You take your chances with Barnett and the pass Barry
rush
Hughes,
takes a huge hit as
right?
well. Yes.
Like, so that's the deal there. All right, so good news there with the Texans. Also, good news for Davis Mills, who he signed a one-year extension, which means he'll be with the team through the 2025 season with his new contract. It's worth $5 million. Here is Davis Mills speaking about his new extension with the Texans.
Well, I think the big thing, just this is my first season where I've been in the same scheme 2 years in a row, so a lot of it just builds on itself. But then my mindset has always been recently just go out there and react. Play quarterback, be a facilitator. Don't take too much from pre-snap into what you're going to do post-snap. Obviously get a mental picture of what you think may happen, but then really everything's going to happen post-snap. Just try to be as efficient as I can in that regard and let those guys on the outside make plays for me.
All right, that's him. Talking, sounding like he's more comfortable in this offense. And are you comfortable with him at this point now as a backup quarterback for the Texans?
I'm comfortable.
No, you're not.
I've always been more comfortable than most with him as a quarterback or start, and I've always leaned on the side of favor versus the way most felt about him. I like what Davis Mills brings to the table as a backup quarterback. The only knock I have on that, I love watching, the mechanically sound, guy that can make all the throws and seems to be a very cerebral guy. Like I like what that's entertaining to me, to what's fascinating to me to watch. what I can't get out of my head is the decision the Texans made. I mean, it's been less than a year, and you decided to go with Case Keenum instead of this backup quarterback who you just gave $5 million to. So, look, I don't, which is fine. I can't get that side of it out of my mind. And now I'll say this, giving him the extension and giving him a little bit more money and keeping him around for another year, I do think that does lend a little bit of credibility maybe to what we think the Texans think of Davis Mills, right? Like, because, I mean, you can make him the number two quarterback. You can play him in preseason. You can not play him in preseason. You can put him wherever you want on the depth chart. When it's all said and done, I'm going to revert back to what we saw last year. Like, that was tough to understand if you're a backup quarterback, right? And now saying, not only is he our guy, Case is hurting on his way to coaching. Not only is our guy, we're going to give him an extension and keep him around another year. That's a statement that, hey, whatever they've seen, which, by the way, I trust this group as it pertains, this offensive crew as it pertains to you know, what, look, they saw something in all these receivers that I didn't last year, and they all popped. So
the hope is this.
I'll trust that they've seen something they like.
That it translates better in the game.
Yeah.
Than we've seen there, and that they've got confidence that it will. Hopefully, I mean, no disrespect to Davis, hopefully just don't see him.
Exactly.
In games that matter, and you don't have to deal
with that. Davis would prefer you not see him. Just go and collect that $5 million next year and everything be good.
What do you think?
Never have to take a snap.
Coming up, the reason why there is hope to not see Davis Mills is because C.J. Stroud is your starting quarterback. You'll hear what he had to say to the media coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, let's hear from it. It's Wednesday. That means you hear from D'Amico, which you heard on In the Loop. And also, you get to hear from C.J. Stroud. Here is the quarterback getting ready for the Indianapolis Colts coming up on Sunday.
It means a lot. You know, it's a divisional game against a great opponent. They're very, very well coached, have a lot of guys who fly around in all three phases, you know, so it'd be a great first challenge for us. And, you know, we're very excited to, you know, go up to Indy and play the Colts.
What do you think of Richardson as a player? Do you guys have a relationship?
I think of him as a all-around quarterback, you know, somebody who can, you know, make all the throws, can also, you know, run the ball dynamically and, you know, be effective in that area. Somebody who, you know, has bought into that offense. Watching him in preseason, you know, he looked like he was clicking on all cylinders. Like he's processing the game a lot better, you know, and just taking his reads, taking what the defense is giving him. And we have a relationship. You know, he's definitely a good friend of mine and somebody who I root on. When we're not playing him, but somebody who I've gotten to know over the years, and definitely have a friendship with him that I think will last a long time.
Harry just talked to us about kind of D'Amico setting a standard and the players grabbing it, kind of setting their own standard. How have you seen that kind of evolve in terms of the daily work that it takes for you guys to reach the goals that you have?
Yeah, I mean, we started that back in the beginning of training camp with all the expectations, all the outside noise. You know, it's all about just working, and that was our motto, is just work. As D'Amico set that standard, as players, we have to hold each other accountable and just keep working towards our goals, and knowing that if we work hard enough and we, you know, own our details and own the little things in our jobs, that, you know, we'll be hard to beat.
What kind of relationship do you and Davis have and create over the last couple of years now that you just feel resigned?
Me and Davis have, you know, created a great relationship. When I first came in, he's always been really quiet, but as time has went on, you know, he's definitely helped me out a ton. He helps me out not only on the field, also off. You know, we have our little dinners and whatnot, and just being able to talk to him and his wife and, you know, see where they come from and just really just have brotherhood and fellowship has been amazing, you know, in that quarterback room, which I think is huge, you know. So I'm very excited for him, very happy for him. And, you know, he's grown as a player, in my opinion, of just in this offense, of owning it, you know, owning his role and doing the things for the team to get better. You know, and I'm very happy and proud of him.
What do you remember about last year as you went to your first start on the road? A little bit of unknown, you hadn't played your first NFL game versus now. Started on the road again, but, this year versus maybe how it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of know what to expect, just a little bit more, but then you also don't know what to expect because it's week one. So, you know, I'm, you know, very excited because it is a great challenge and it is a divisional game. And we know how what happened there last year, and that's over with now. We have to move on because we know they're going to be very highly motivated, you know, to get their get back as they should, you know. So we got to be on our game and on our details, on our job, you know, and make sure that, you know, we're able to, you know, execute at a high level in that type of environment because it's going to be rocking. And, you know, we're excited for that challenge. And, you know, I think they are too. So it's going to be a great matchup to watch.
You listen to CJ Stroud live on the Drive.
You had the hurt shoulder. The offensive line was depleted. And after the game, you came up, you praised your teammates. Do you think that kind of set the tone for just being a leader and establishing yourself as a leader of this team?
I feel like it was a multitude of things, but, you know, I definitely think that week we took a step. You know, I think last year was last year, you know, that stuff is done now, you know, so I definitely do think that took a step for our standard and how we're going to run this organization, you know, on the player coach side of things was just kind of the grit that, you know, it wasn't pretty. We definitely, you know, the Colts got after us that day, but, you know, it definitely set a tone that we weren't going to just shy away. We were going to play all four quarters tough as possible, you know, and it just really took time to, you know, build trust and things like that. So, you know, I definitely think that definitely took a step for the what we're seeing now last year.
How have you kind of grown in just your approach? Meetings, your communication with meetings, things like that.
How
have you grown in that?
You know, I feel like I've grown, one, of just like trusting Bobby and everything that he stands for when it comes to just philosophy and how he calls it. So, you know, I've been able to go and just watch games with him and, you know, pick his brain and see how he watches film and, you know, why he calls certain plays when he calls them and whatnot. And then on top of that, I've been able to, you know, I wouldn't say I ever did have a filter because that's just not my personality, but I definitely, like, know how to, you know, I don't know how to really phrase this, but me and him just have more of an understanding of, you know, things that I like to get done that I don't like to do or what I like to do. It's just more comfortability, it was what I would say. Nothing bad, like nothing was ever negative, don't get me wrong. We've always had a good open communication, but I think both of us are just a lot more comfortable being around each other from day in and day out, of scheme to practice to, you know, conversation away from ball, like just everything. We're just more comfortable with each other.
Quality of this offense, especially the receiving corps.
Yeah, I think strategically, I think Nick did a great job of, you know, building us from top to bottom, really bottom to top, you know, looking both ways. He's done a good job of filling in the spots we felt like we needed, and then, you know, bringing in guys who we thought that we felt fit our style to play. And, you know, I think D'Amico and Nick and really just our front office done a great job of, you know, bringing guys together not only would fit the X's and O's, but fit each other personality-wise. You know, I think y'all in the locker room with us at times, you know, we see how close we are. We're always playing, we're always smiling, always having fun, and we're all really competitive. And, you know, everybody wants to eat, which I think is a great thing. So, you know, I think it starts with our front office and what they've done. And, you know, we're just excited to have, you know, a close-knit team.
Listen to C.J. Stroud right here on Sports Radio 60.
Mixon and Diggs, everybody seems so excited to see them in this offense in a game that really matters. How are you feeling at the, you know, getting the chance finally to play the game with them that counts?
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I think we got to see glimpses in training camp, but now it's full go. Now it's time to roll, and, you know, those guys are – two of the most competitive guys I've ever been around, and really two of the most joyful guys who just love playing ball, you know, love showing up to work every day and being around the guys, love, like, knowing their teammates and, you know, helping guys out, you know. I know Steph got named a captain, which is huge because, you know, he earned it, you know what I mean, and he's one of the biggest leaders on the offense, and I think, you know, Joe would be a captain pretty soon just because his personality and, you know, how he brings guys along, makes guys around him better, you know, challenges his guys. And I think both of those guys have done a great job of buying in the system and growing in the system. And, you know, they're going to do great things.
Can you talk a little bit about your ability to handle those messy pockets, get stuff at your feet, not being able to be on the platform? I know some of that's instincts, but how can you go about
kind of helping the offensive line when it is one of those situations and succeeding when there is sort of a messy line?
Yeah, I kind of go back to, you know, a coach I had in college, Todd Fitch, who's at LSU now. And he always told me, like, you're hard to stop when you have good eyes and good feet. And another thing that I run with now and it's stuck in my mind is, you know, how can the most important thing as a quarterback is making the guys around you better. And so if our O-line have a really tough matchup on the edges, you know, and they're going to widen those guys, it's my job to step up. It's my job to make those guys right, to make them better. You know what I mean? So I take that very seriously, drills and watching tape and watching guys around the league do it, you know, from back in the past to now, on just like film of how pockets move, how guys tee and twist and try to get you off your mark. And but all that, you got to be able to look and read the defense at the same time, which isn't easy to do. But, you know, it's a lot to do with instincts and my God-given talent, but also, you know, just a lot of hard work with Gerard and Bobby and Bill Lazor, Leander, Shane Day last year. Just a lot of groundwork that we put in.
We got time for two more, guys.
CJ, you get to play SEC defense every single day in practice, but Kamari coming on in as a rookie, D'Amico said that he's been a constant since the start of OTAs, when he was a rookie minicamp. Do you sometimes just have to remember that he's a rookie and still learning? And have you seen a quarterback of his skill set transition as quickly as he has?
Yeah, personally, I mean, I kind of, you know, I relate to him in a lot of ways of just like mindset. You know, I can see how he loves the game and he's very hard on himself. But I think he can admit to this too. Like, at least for me last year, I didn't consider myself a rookie. I consider myself a football player, you know, and it was my job to be the quarterback of the Texans. And I think he takes it on as a challenge. It's his job to be a really good corner for the Texans, you know. So, and if he has that mindset, you know, there's going to be ups and downs, but the person I see at practice and the person I played against in college and, you know, now, you know, he's undeniable and he's going to compete. He's never going to tuck his tail and shy away. So I'm super proud of that dude, man. He showed up day in and day out. You know, gave us honest looks. And, you know, I think he knows that, you know, guys will be going at him, and he likes that challenge. And for me last year, I knew that guys were going to be blitzing and changing coverages and doing crazy stuff. But when I focus on what I had to focus on and, you know, just on my details, and that's when I started elevating and getting more confident. So, you know, all the things that I me and him talk on a day-to-day basis, and I'm just really, really happy for him and excited to see what he does on Sunday.
We're close with John and Chance.
CJ, of course you want to win more games, but what is something that you want to do that's more important to you than anything you did last year? You want to improve on the post?
I would say, like, for me, I would say I wanted to start faster. You know, it doesn't have to do with, like, a certain game, just, like, in general, the season. You know, last year we started off really slow and just kind of had to, like, build our way back. And, like, it's not an easy thing to do. So I would say this year is, like, we want to start fast. We want to gain confidence early. I think we put in the work for training camp. And now, you know, it's up to us to go out there and do it this Sunday and, you know, put our best foot forward. But, you know, really just that was my big thing, is just starting fast.
Last one.
Not surprised, but it does have to be earned. What does it mean to you that your guys in the locker room rules you a captain once again, week in and week out, other than when you on Sundays to help the team?
Yeah, man, it's probably the biggest honor for me, you know, bigger than any accolade, any reward, you know, because it's not. Like you said, it's not something that's just given, especially like me being a young guy still, you know, like even last year I was kind of surprised, you know, just because like I wanted to be a captain, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like something like I was forcing. And for them to just kind of like notice it and like want me to be in that role was just an honor and a blessing. So, you know, I don't take it lightly, and it's you know, something that I'm really like proud of, not only just myself, but the other guys who were named captains as well. So, you know, I'm really just thanking God that I have the opportunity to be in Houston with this great organization, this great team, you know, to be able to, you know, have brothers like I do day in and day out to lean on. So, you know, I hope they know they can lean on me on and off the field through anything. So.
All right, that was quarterback C.J. Stroud as he met with the media today. Some good stuff there. Coming up, our guy, Danny Cannell, after a wild first couple of weeks, especially for his alma mater, a wild first couple of weeks of the college football season. Big weekend coming up as well. We'll talk to him about all the ins and outs with college football coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. And listen, this was a heck of a couple of weeks, first couple of weeks in college football, and another big week coming up as well. And nobody to be better to be joined than our guy. We had fun with him last year. We had fun with him in Vegas at the Super Bowl when we were down there with him. Our guy, Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell is brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week two lines. I understand that you're still reeling from your Florida State Seminoles, and I promise we will get to that in just a second, Danny. But I'm wondering, because these I work with, they were a little high on Texas A&M. And Clint thought they could be a surprise sleeper team in the college football playoff. And Tyler's just a psycho fan with his Aggies. I'm just curious, were you surprised with what you saw in College Station Saturday night?
You know, I was talking to Tyler before we came on here, and I could feel the pain in his voice. Mm. And I said, I'd rather be him than me. He was sitting at 0-2. Like, at least he only has one loss. But I will say this. I was one of those that did believe. I thought this was a year. The schedule set up nicely. You had a home opener against a team that had to replace a lot of people. I thought the opportunities there. I still don't think it's time to write them off, but I'd say probably the biggest disappointment for me, and I don't think this is a big shock, is that I thought Connor Wigman, who all we've heard about was, you know, how good he could be, and he's shown it in flashes. He just hasn't been able to put it together, you know, for an entire season. That was probably the disappointment for me. And there were several throws that were there to be made. He just couldn't make them. And we'll see how he backs it up. But, yeah, I was a believer. And I will say this. I don't know if I'm necessarily jumping off yet. We'll find out just how good Notre Dame is. That defense is filthy. I'll tell you that. Like, so they're going to give a lot of teams a lot of problems. But I would like to see more out of that offense for the Aggies going forward.
How do you feel about that other than Connor Wegman? Obviously we can pick that apart. I mean, it was clearly a struggle, but there was obviously some problems with receivers separating. And I do wonder the change going from Bobby Petrino to Colin Klein, I believe, is the OC from Kansas State, who had some very productive offenses at Kansas State. I do wonder, I think it's natural to wonder at this point, like, what does that fit look like? I'm wondering in your mind, I know it's one game, but you know, how confident are you those guys bounce back?
So I'd say the biggest concern I have is I thought Wigman was a little bit more athletic as a runner. That's where I thought he'd fit better in Colin Klein's system. You know, Colin Klein played at Kansas State, was there last year with Will Howard, who was a real physical runner with the football in his hands. And then, you know, just from what I've seen early, from what I think they want to do in being having a dual threat quarterback, I think that concerns me somewhat. Now, the other thing, and Clint, you can appreciate this, because I think we make way too many assumptions, myself included, that everything's just going to come together like perfectly. And we have so much turnover in the sport. I mean, they're implementing a new system. Like, Colin Klein was just there, and it's the second system back-to-back years. So, like, your mind gets a little confused, and you're trying to forget old concepts and implement new ones. You're trying to forget old terminology, bring in new terminology. And all the time we're like, well, these guys were pretty good. You've shown some talent. This coach is good. He's got a good system. Oh, it should just work. It might just be that the Aggies need a little bit of time to improve. And I will say, the thing that concerns me and where I got – and now Notre Dame did too, right? Riley Leonard just got there, so I don't want to make excuses for anybody. But I do think some teams really could use a pushover opponent, like an FCS opponent in week one, more of an NFL preseason-type game, just to get some confidence, some rhythm, some timing, so that you once you get to your better opponent, then you're not so green and you're not so out of sorts, which I think we saw a lot at several schools that were implementing new systems, new coordinators, new quarterbacks, new players. I think that's a little bit something moving forward I want to look for more of as a theme, especially early in the season.
Our guy Danny Cannell is with us, brought to you by Bet Online. Check up Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week two lines. And I'm telling you, a thing that is really giving people like Tyler and other Aggies a real issue is now Texas looks like they're seriously back. And it's
It's not a joke.
And they look like they're just as good as they were last year. I'm curious from you, is Saturday's game in Ann Arbor, is this a great game between two good teams that are blue bloods, or is this just a great game with two blue bloods?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think they're two really good football teams. Clearly, yeah. Texas is good. Yeah, I think Texas is good easily. Like, I was pretty bullish on Texas coming in. I have them making it to the SEC championship game. A lot of that has to do with some of the returning production, that, you know, especially their quarterback. Like, I do think Quinn Ewers is special. I mean, just the fact that he can hold off Arch Manning, and seeing some of the throws that Arch Manning makes in the spring game and watching what he does when he comes in, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, the defense, I think, is probably the bigger concern for me. Like, can they go toe-to-toe with Georgia? What I think is good, like, so I feel better about Michigan. It's one of the reasons they're a touchdown favorite, you know, going into the Big House. But we have to all be super careful that we don't overreact to one game, right? Texas, they beat up on Colorado State. It's like, oh, my gosh, let's put them in the playoff. Let's put them in the championship game. Michigan struggles against Fresno State, and it's like, ah, they're going to be awful. Now, you do dive deeper, and Michigan had some issues at quarterback. That concerns me in a big way. But their defense was still pretty salty. They did have a couple interceptions, including a pick six. And Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, that's sort of the chess match within the game, is Wink Martindale has had been a longtime NFL defensive coordinator going against Steve Sarkisian and his offensive mind. Like, what does he throw? I think he's going to throw the kitchen sink at this offense, try to confuse Quinn Ewers, try to get free blitzers, you know, show blitz, drop out, use some zone blitz, try to confuse him all night long. And I do think probably what Michigan is going to try to do is run the football and play a little bit of keep away. But the thing that's good, especially when you lose two of those interior defensive tackles that are off in the NFL now, but the thing that concerns me from Michigan is they weren't able to really establish the run against Fresno State. Now, is that because they took them lightly? They weren't, you know, they kind of maybe they were looking ahead to the Texas game. That remains to be seen. But I do think Texas and Michigan are two really good football teams. I think Texas I'm way higher on. I think it makes sense. But I think Michigan's defense is one that keeps them in this conversation.
All right. Nation, we're back.
All right, Danny, let's give the people what they want here. I mean, when we talk Texas, let's be honest, bro. After that game, I'm married to a Longhorn. I watched the game. I got up the next day, and I'm sitting around watching some highlights. And the Texas highlights, Chief, the Texas highlights on TV started when the score was 38-0 just so they could get to Manning. The next time it rolled around, Danny, the highlight started at 31-0. They didn't care about how they got to 31. They just had to get this Manning name dropped out there. Do you think that the Manning, the dynamic in Austin, the Ewers Manning dynamic, do you think that's just a media driven thing, or do you think there's a real, tug of war? And I don't mean in a negative way, but a real tug of war in that program that the quarterback situation isn't settled.
Man, I hate this for Quinn Ewers. Like, I'm not joking when I say he must have some of the thickest skin and the most confidence in himself, because it hasn't impacted his play. Like, he's been really solid for the Longhorns, and this guy's been sitting there waiting in the wings for over a year now. He came on campus. And the thing that kind of gave him a little bit of an out last year is, remember, Arch Manning's first spring game was rough. Like, everybody's like, oh, he shouldn't, you know, he's overrated. And then last spring, he comes out there and lights up the defense, puts up huge numbers. This year he comes in, makes an incredible, you know, run where he flips it out last second. He looks the part. I do think there's a lot. I mean, this is part of the territory that comes. When your last name is Manning, ESPN is going to start the highlight with you. Local channels are going to start the highlight with you. And I don't think Arch Manning asked for that. It's just the reality of where they are. Everything I've heard, everybody that I've talked to, Sark has said it's a really healthy quarterback room. Like, there's no dynamic of jealousy in that quarterback room. And that, to me, matters more than any perception coming from outside of it. And that's where I do think Arch Manning has approached all of this the right way. He's come in with humility. He, you know, when he announced his commitment, he just sent out a tweet. It wasn't, you know, any hype video. He's always gone about his business. He's spoken glowingly about Quinn Ewers. And I do think, because of his background, because of the way he's been raised with his uncles and even his dad, they've told him to be patient. Like, his time will come, So I don't think he's really campaigning or trying to stab Quinn Ewers in the back. I just think they have the best quarterback room in the entire country because of the depth they have.
Real quick, Danny, and I mean real quick, we got to get you out of here.
Yep.
Who's in the worst spot, Clemson or your Seminoles?
Oh, it's not even close. It's my Seminoles. 0-2 behind the eight ball. I wish we could have played Georgia, and then we could say, oh, we got beat by a good team. It's not even close. I'm worried about Florida State. I was perusing win totals. Their win total is 5.5, so we're starting to look for bowls now. It's bad.
Yeah. All right. That's our guy, Danny Cannell, who's been struggling, and I'm sure has been taking a beating all week with people trying to knock down your doors to get you a call. Hey, want to talk about this Florida State? We'll talk to you again, man.
You guys are awesome. Good catching up.
All right. That's Danny Cannell. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 2 lines, as Danny Cannell is brought to you by Bet Online. What you got coming up at the four?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Four. All right, I told y'all that Nick Caserio, he dropped enough dimes for us yesterday, enough nuggets for us yesterday to build 82 different segments. Well, I got a little Nick Caserio audio that you got to hear, and I'm going to back it up with a little D'Amico Ryans audio. Got some real talk about what the Colts offense is going to present, and then D'Amico, I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he followed up Caserio's comments perfectly, which created the challenge that is the Indianapolis Colts offense. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.